Parley, an SG-1 SGA fic written by Wojela and read by Helen78. Cam's been driving for days when he finally just quits looking. It's November, it's raining. He's somewhere between Miami and St. Augustine, and he's been hunting for John Shepard, Colonel, USAF, retired, for what feels like forever. He puts the car into park outside a bar that should look seedy, except there's music spilling out the door that he can hear even through the car windows, and the folks scurrying in from the rain look pretty pleased to be there. The engine's idling, and it's tempting just to move on. Head up to Jacksonville, call into Colorado, get a flight, and make it back to the mountain as soon as possible. The heavens choose that moment to pour down like they're trying to drown him where he sits. So he sighs, grabs the keys, flips up his collar, opens the car door, and sprints for dry land. Inside the bar, it's muggy and crowded and loud, and he flirts idly with the bartender while she pours him something local and on tap. He snags a stool and bellies up. The beer goes down smooth and dark and yeasty. Nice enough after a day battling Winnebagos and Cadillacs driven by little old ladies that put his automatic respect for people who make him think of his grandmother to the absolute test. He grins at the bartender and settles in to drink, closing his eyes and listening to the music. An open mic, apparently, but good, really good for all that, while he enjoys himself. Cam's had three more, and nothing much more than a handful of the bar's free popcorn, before he realizes that getting back on the road's going to be an interesting proposition. The bar's emptying out, and the woman on the stage announces it's closing time before launching into something slow and sexy, and a little sad, in a voice that sounds like Vala moves. He signals the bartender and downs a glass of water, then fumbles for his keys, which he promptly drops. He's scanning the floor for them, swearing under his breath, when he hears something jingle and finds them dangling in front of his face. "Come on, Mitchell," says a familiar voice, lazy and dry and just a little mocking. His skin prickles with the shock of recognition. "I'll drive you home." Cam blinks, and the world refocuses into the lines and shadows that make up John Shepard's face. One eye's got a patch. The other's watching him steadily, and Cam's too fuddled by the booze to look for subtext. "Don't have a place," he manages. Shepard rolls his eyes. "I," thinks Cam, and heads for the door. "Shut up, Mitchell." Cam goes to follow, and the barkeep grabs his wrist. "You a friend of Johnny's?" He looks at her in disbelief. "Johnny?" he thinks. "Used to be," he says. "Don't fuck with him," she says, and lets him go. "Trust me," Cam says, threading his way through the empty tables between him and the door. "I wouldn't dream of it." The next morning, he wakes up to find himself on an old brown sofa that scratches like hell, a blanket tangled around his feet. The house feels empty, and he's willing to trust his instincts because after 8 years on SG-1, he's had a lot of practice waking up in unknown locations. This time, at least, he's still wearing his pants. He shoves himself up and knocks over an empty glass as he swings his feet over the side and onto the floor. His mouth tastes like something crawled in and died, and his head's a little foggy. But it looks like he's escaped major punishment this time around. Cam scrubs at his face and takes the lay of the land. It's a bungalow, neat and clean and pretty impersonal, furniture-wise. Serviceable stuff, the kind that looks a lot like the one room in the frat house where a guy could bring his girlfriend's parents. Somebody's knocked out a wall, and the kitchen/den has a bank of windows facing the ocean. Cam stumbles down the hall and tries a couple doors that reveal, consecutively, a bedroom, an office, and, thankfully, a bathroom. He emerges feeling kind of human, and tries the front door. The view from the porch is amazing. Scrubby vegetation in a million shades of green, a sweep of cream-colored sand, and then nothing but blue. Cam's just sitting there, still in his sweats, just staring, feeling 2 weeks of nervous tension running along his nerves and playing in his muscles, when he hears the crunch of feet on gravel. And then Shepard rounds the corner of the house, sweaty and blowing pretty hard. Cam's gotta give him credit. He doesn't so much as blink when he sees Cam taking up space on one of his Adirondacks. He just puts his hands behind his head and breathes deep. Cam goes back to looking at the ocean. When Shepard moves again, it's to strip off the black t-shirt and head for the door. "Come on, Mitchell," he says for the second time in 24 hours. "Breakfast." Cam looks at the ocean, breathes the salt air in, and heads inside. 30-foot Pearson, Shepard says, over some of the worst damn scrambled eggs Cam's ever had, and his daddy could burn water if he tried. High-aspect fractional rig, swept spreaders, 450-plus square feet of sail. Cam lets the babble pass him by. "You got a boat?" "Sailboat, asshole," Shepard corrects equably. "She's a racer. Goes so fast you think you're..." And just like that, the conversation shuts down. Cam looks out the window, and then Shepard's on his feet, clearing the plates like nothing happened. "Come on," he says, and Cam will be damned to hell if he ever plays poker with that man again. "Wind's good." "Shepard," Cam says, "I grew up in Kansas. What I don't know about boats can fill a book." "Good thing she takes a one-man crew." Shepard grabs a set of keys from a hook near the fridge and heads out the door. "Let's go." Cam scratches his neck and swears. "On second thought," Shepard says, looking like nothing so much as a pirate in another black shirt and that fucking eye patch, "maybe you should change first. Wouldn't want to scare the fish." Cam looks down at his sweats, looks up just in time to keep his duffel bag from smacking him in the face. "Hurry up, Mitchell," Shepard says. "If we lose the wind, I'm putting you on KP tonight." He grins and the door clicks shut. "I hope we lose the fucking wind," Cam mutters, and goes to get dressed. An hour later, Cam's on a goddamn boat. Correction, a goddamn sailboat. He has to hand it to Shepard. In the 2 years he's been gone, the bastard's learned to sail like he grew up knowing how. They've been sailing for about an hour, and that's after half an hour or so motoring through the canals. The boat's a beauty. 40 years old if she's a day, and Cam figures the only people likely to understand what the name cashing in really means are hundreds of miles away. Except for him, and he's only here because 2 years ago, he and Shepard understood each other alarmingly well. And now, 2 years later, Cam's the one who needs to know that somebody else gets it. Sitting in surprisingly comfortable silence, the wind chapping his face, and the sun just warm enough on his skin, he's willing to admit he's glad he came. It's about 20 minutes later when the fish detector looks promising enough for Shepard. Cam gets enlisted to help haul in the sails and drop anchor. Suddenly, Boy Scouts is another whole level of useful, because his fingers remember the knots old Scoutmaster McMurtry drilled into him years back, even if his brain doesn't. Shepard heads below, comes back with two rods and the two coolers they'd schlepped on board earlier. Cam opens one, rummages around and grabs a beer, tosses another at Shepard in exchange for a rod. Shepard flicks on the radio. They bait their hooks, and they wait. 2 hours later, after a battle with a barracuda that requires braining the fish with a spiked 2x4 and leaves Cam's arms and back pleasantly sore, Shepard dumps his weapon of fishy death back in the cabin and kicks back while Cam ties another hook. "So they're taking you off the gate team," Shepard says, and Cam damn near slices his finger open on the pocket knife he's using to cut the line. "How the hell'd you know?" he demands, as his tenuous peace dissolves and the restlessness returns. "Taylor called?" "Which explains how you knew to find me in that damn bar." "God damn it. She'd known where to find him the whole time, and she'd lied to his face." "Nah," Shepard drawls, eyes closed and head tipped back. McKay traced your subcutaneous transmitter. Cam's furious. And the chick in the bar that warned me off of you last night, who was that? Dex? Because that's disturbing in more ways than one. Your imagination's an alarming place, Mitchell. Shepard looks up, but Cam can't read his eyes. Aye, and damn it, why does he keep thinking that? Through the sunglasses. Kayla's just a friend. I helped her out when I first came to town, and she got ideas. Although Ronan did call and tell me that if you got to be a pain in the ass, all I had to do was yell. Nice. Relax, Cam. Shepard suddenly sounds tired. They're just a little... overprotective? Shepard shrugs. Have it your way. Cam sets the rod aside carefully, closes up the knife, and sits with a thud, staring at his hands. Another beer materializes in his line of sight, and he looks up. Shepard's drinking Coke, and he's listening. O'Neill's leaving. They want someone from the program in his place, and I got nominated to play pinata. You gonna do it? What the hell choice do I have? Don't fuck around with me, Mitchell. You always have a choice. Cam smiles, but it's bitter. The last time Shepard sounded that angry, he'd been in Colorado, and they'd just given him the prognosis. The eye was a loss. McKay's ancient thingamabob had healed his collarbone and ribs enough to keep him alive, but speed healing left them fragile. Too fragile. They'd never stand up to G-forces again. Landry'd sent Cam in to keep an eye on Shepard. Midway might have been destroyed, but that didn't mean Landry didn't think Shepard capable of taking off with the only remaining jumper and just... leaving. Cam probably wouldn't have blamed him. Hell, Cam didn't blame him. He'd gone in, with Carter and Jackson and Teal'c, during the last days of Atlantis. He'd been there, and while Sam and Daniel had spent most of their time helping cherry-pick as much as possible from the database, Cam and Teal'c had been a little more actively engaged. He'd been there the night Shepard put two and two together, and realized that the only way to save Pegasus was to lose Atlantis. Cam sighs, stares out over the ocean. You know I'm going. Do I? Shepard sits back down, but Cam can practically hear him vibrating. Come to think of it, something is thudding away. Some motorboat somewhere, Cam figures, and drops his head into his hands. You're an asshole. You know that? He mutters. Sticks and stones. Cam barks out a laugh and closes his eyes. 8 years of raising hell in other galaxies, and this is my... Shut up, Shepard snaps. And that isn't what Cam had expected. Jesus, Shepard. Cam drops his hands to the bench and starts to stand. Mitchell, Shepard hisses. And Cam realizes that the motor he heard is pretty damn loud for just passing by. Just shut up and play dumb and don't move till I tell you. There's a gun under the top step and another up by the bow, way the hell back under the bag for the jib. The damn sail. Slide the knife down your sock, nice and slow. It's 2 inches to your left. The motor's getting louder. There's a couple more in the cabin, and the CUDA stick's in there. Shepard, Cam says, straightening. What the fuck is going on? Shep looks down, and Cam knows whatever the hell it is, it's bad. His mouth quirks in a completely humor-free grin. Pirates. You have got to be kidding me, Cam groans, and then something bumps the boat hard, and something whacks the back of his head harder. And everything disappears. He wakes up when they drag him down the stairs into the cabin, but he's not dumb enough to show it. The guy they send down there with him reeks, and the nasty smirk on his face suggests that good oral hygiene has not been a part of his daily routine. On deck, someone's shouting in thickly accented English. Shepard's not talking at all. Or at least he isn't until someone throws something through the hatchway to the goon standing at the foot of the stairs that sloshes and stinks of kerosene. And then he's not talking. He's threatening. Cam's heard that voice before. Quiet and empty and scary as hell. Cam's got his own version. He hears something up on deck hit flesh. Hard. Just about the time his fingers identify the barracuda stick. The guy watching him is still by the stairs, looking up to watch the action, and he doesn't hear Cam's slow shift into a crouch, using his guard as a screen between him and the other guy upstairs, giving Cam a few seconds to think, and a badly obstructed view of what's happening up on deck. He can't see much of Shepard, but Cam does know he's sprawled into a corner of the boat and looking pretty limp. The guy upstairs must think so too, because he shouts down to Cam's guard, ordering him to keep watch. Then the guy upstairs, or at least his legs, move out of sight, and the boat dips sharply, which Cam thinks probably means he's jumped ship onto the other boat. And then Cam doesn't have time to think much at all, because then the guy in front of him notices Cam's not on the bunk anymore. This isn't rocket science. These guys are hardly up to par. Cam brains the guard with the blunt end of the barracuda stick before he makes a noise, and shoves him aside, catching the gas can as it falls, and stowing it way the hell under the galley sink. He scrabbles at the top step on the stairs, which lifts off silently. Cam liberates the damn gun and enough ammo to take on a fucking army. He loads it, checks the safety. When he looks up through the hatch to check on Shepard, he damn near swallows his tongue. Shep's staring right at him. Cam holds up the gun, and Shepard's grin is practically feral. Cam doesn't disagree. Somebody shouts, and Cam doesn't stop to think, just tosses the gun to Shepard and scrambles for the other at the bow. By the time he makes it back to the stairs, Shepard's crouched low, taking whatever shelter he can from the hull. "Stay the hell back," he growls, and Cam takes the advice as a shot winds past the hatch. Shepard's clip is empty. Cam tosses him a couple more from under the step and manages a few shots of his own while Shepard reloads. The pirates, and Cam can't really believe that after other galaxies and space aliens and all kinds of weird shit, he goes to Florida and finds pirates, are alongside in a disreputable wreck of a cabin cruiser that barely looks seaworthy. There's only three of them. Four, he supposes, counting the guy knocked out down in Shepard's cabin. At some point, they'd tied a line from their boat to Shepard's, but it's pretty well played out. The two boats are probably about 40 feet apart. Shepard's next shot is followed by a splash. "One," he says. "And damn if that's not a challenge." Cam eels himself over the edge of the top step and takes aim. No one's seen him yet, and he takes advantage of their distraction. His shot takes a second guy dead in the chest. The third heads for the wheel. The motor starts to churn, and the line tying them together pulls taut. The anchor chain on the cashing in starts to protest. Cam grabs for the knife at his ankle with his free hand, thinking to cut the line, but Shepard just shakes his head no. Cam watches him get a bead, feels the seconds stretch out as Shepard waits, and then the guy shows his face, the shot cracks out, and it's over. Shepard's shoulders sag, and Cam heaves a breath, and then there's a noise behind them. Cam whirls and shoots first rather than asking questions. The son of a bitch from the bunk, standing at the top of the stairs, drops like a ton of bricks. Shepard catches the barracuda stick as it falls from the guy's hand, just before it goes over the side. They look at each other, and then Shepard drags the guy onto the seat, and Cam goes below to clean up. He's opening closets, looking for a damn towel, when he finally stops and takes a look around, and realizes that everything missing from the bungalow, all the little things that make something feel like home, are scattered around the cabin. The blankets on the bunk are Ethosian, he's sure. The knife in his hand looks Satidan. The design on the casing looks a lot like those Ronan still keeps pulling out of his hair at awkward moments. There's books on higher mathematics stuffed into various bins, and McKay's cramped handwriting scrawls over a pile of random loose leaf that falls to the floor when he opens another cabinet. Shepard calls his name. Cam shoves the papers back in and secures the latch. He's got his foot on the step when he looks up and notices there's writing on the wall by the hatch. Just pairs of initials, but Cam's pretty sure he knows who they stand for. Cam's got his own list of the lost. He sticks his head out of the hatch to find Shepard's towed the other boat in and dumped the last body on board. The wind's kicking up, and there's clouds on the horizon. "Pass the damn gas can," Shepard says, and Cam's happy to oblige. Shepard douses the boat and the bodies and cuts the line, and they set about raising anchor and hoisting the main. The sail billows and the boat jumps, and Shepard unearths a flare gun from the storage beneath the seats. Cam's looking at the cruiser, but he can see, out of the corner of his eye, Shepard lift an eyebrow in a question. Cam nods, short and sharp, and the gun fires. There's a spark of flame. Cam watches it run along the lines and take hold, then turns away. "Pirates," he mutters. "Drug runners," Shepard says, although Cam hadn't really asked. "Small fry. A little out of their territory," he adds with a shrug. "Last time it happened, about a year and a half ago, Kayla lost her dad." Cam cocks his head, thinks about timelines and timing, and settles for saying nothing. He thinks about the boat burning, and about Colorado, and by the time they make it back to the dock, he's wound so damn tight he's humming. Shepard's silent the whole way home. They get back to the bungalow, and Cam calls the shower. The water's hot, and it feels damn good. It's November, after all. And they might be in Florida, but the wind had picked up a bite as the day got old. Not to mention his head feels like it's been kicked by a mule. 2 years ago, it had started out as a fistfight. They'd thrown Cam in with Shepard because they knew Shepard was spoiling for a fight, and as Carter observed when the order first came down, because Landry wasn't stupid. They'd just taken everything away from Shepard, and the whole damn mountain knew it. Cam, Carter had pointed out, might be the only person on base who actually understood what that was like. Cam himself was less sure. He'd fought for his recovery every fucking step, but at least he'd had the possibility. Nothing was going to fix the microscopic flaws in Shepard's bone structure. Nothing was going to repair the Atlantis Gate. If their positions had been reversed, Cam had thought, Shepard would be the last person in any galaxy Cam would want to see. "At least we were there when it happened," Carter had said, and Cam had flung up his hands and headed for Shepard's temporary quarters. 2 years later, Cam's a little hazy on the less important details, like who said what, but he remembers they argued, and they both knew it wasn't so much an argument as a general fury at the overwhelming unfairness of life, and that the only available target was the other person in the room. He doesn't remember who swung first, but he does remember it was Shepard pinned him down, and that he'd never realized what the word rictus meant until he'd gotten a good look at Shepard's face at that moment. Shepard had just stared at him, and Cam had just let down his guard. All the frustration and fear of the last few weeks, all the grief. Even if Atlantis wasn't his in the same way it was Shepard's, all of it out in the open. After that, the details are a little hazy, but Cam's a guy, and there are some key highlights that are crystal clear. He's never forgotten how utterly wrung out he felt the day after, or his complete lack of surprise when the news at the mess the next morning was that Shepard was already gone. It's dark when he gets out of the bathroom. Shepard's bedroom door is closed. Thunder's rumbling off to the north. Cam ambles out to the porch and leans against the railing, leaving the door open behind him. He hears the snick of a door opening inside the house, way off down the hall, and isn't surprised when, shortly after, a long, tall body bumps against his and settles in. "So, about that job," Shepard says, quietly. "Fuck off." Cam's not really angry. His heart's not in it. Apparently Shepard didn't get that memo, because suddenly Cam's up against the wall of the house, and Shepard's hand is in almost uncomfortable pressure on his sternum. "You don't take that job, you're a damn coward." Shepard's voice almost gets lost in the ocean and the thunder, it's so low. "What the hell do you know about it? It could have been yours, except you walked, Shepard. You just moseyed on out and disappeared to go fight half-assed pirates off the Florida coast." Cam gets his hands up and shoves. "Mitchell, if you think any single person under that damn mountain would have shoved me into Blues and sent me out to chat with the politicos, you're dumber than I thought." Shepard sounds disgusted. 2 years ago, Cam realizes, that remark would have had him swinging. Maybe it had. Now, today, with the smell of blood and soot still clinging faintly to his skin, Cam surprises himself by laughing and sags back against the wall. "Would have been interesting, anyhow." "That's one word for it," Shepard drawls. And the next thing Cam knows, there's a hand on the back of his neck and a forehead against his. "Listen, you stupid fuck," he says. "Why the hell do you think we'd all crawl through hell and back for O'Neill?" Cam draws breath, but Shepard just talks over him. Because he's between them and us, fighting the dirty fight. And some days he's all the protection we've got. Now it's your turn to step up. It's not a bad choice. Cam's still processing that when a mouth closes over his, and then Shepard's tongue's there, hot and knowing, and not at all gentle. The restlessness that's been eating at Cam all day leaps and fires. His whole damn skin tingles, and he's not careful as he shoves Shepard's shirt over his head, pressing hard into hot muscle, feeling Shepard's hands moving just as desperately over his own body. It's a blur for a while. Cloth and hair and muscle and bone and teeth and cool air and skin, sweet and hot. Their sweats are somewhere underneath them. "I am not picking splinters out of your ass in the morning," somebody says. Shepard's still wearing that damn eye patch. "Kinky," somebody says. "Go to hell," someone answers. Cam's not sure if it's the breeze or Shepard's hand tracing his spine that kicks up goose flesh and drives Cam's hips down, making them both gasp. Cam can't move, knows as soon as he does he's going to fly into pieces. He's holding his breath so hard it hurts, pushing himself up, away from the heat and scrape of Shepard's chest against his, feeling something he can't even name fracturing, splintering, coming apart at the seams. Then a hot, heavy palm runs along the line of Cam's shoulder, sweeps down the plane of his back, comes to rest on the point of his hip, and Cam shatters on a gasp that sounds like a sob, thrusting down until Shepard arches beneath him in a flash of heat, and Cam's world goes white. They make it inside somehow, and the storm breaks not long after. Cam falls asleep to the sound of the rain and wakes when it stops. The restlessness is gone. He's awake and empty, the same kind of empty he'd been 2 years ago, and his head hurts. His duffel's behind the sofa. After some thinking, he finds the car keys in the freezer and vows he'll get Shepard back for that one day. He opens the front door and pretends he doesn't notice the light reflecting in Shepard's open eyes. "Aye," he thinks, and feels his grandmother slap him up the inside of his head. The door closes behind him, and the gravel crunches under his feet. The damn Volvo is no more fun than it was before, but at least Shepard brought it back from the bar. By the time the sky turns to gray, Cam's 30 minutes outside of Jacksonville. Heading home. The end. This has been a reading of Parley by Wojela. For more of the author's work, visit ao3.org/users/wojela. And for more of my podfic, visit helensfic.net/podfic.